Welcome to Backyard Oasis, a podcast designed by and for older adults living in the beautiful Pioneer Valley of Western Massachusetts and produced in the tech studios at Greenfield Community College in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Backyard Oasis reaches out to older adults who seek knowledge to help them live more thoughtfully, healthily, and happily, who hope to inspire others with their ideas, and who serve their communities in the interest of the greater good.
All right. This is Judy Raper, Associate Dean for Community Engagement at Greenfield Community College. And we're coming at you today from the East Building at Greenfield Community College, Room 101, the Community Resource Studio. The podcast studio had a little bit of water damage to it, so we have shifted our scene over here, and it's kind of nice because I'm sitting on a couch.
You like it.
I like it. I like the new scene. Unfortunately, Jessica's usually here with me in person, but her daughter's sick, so I'm the only one here except for producer Alex. But I do kind of like the scene. It's very relaxed. I could fall asleep.
Yeah.
So I've introduced myself. Why don't you two introduce yourselves, and then we'll get right into what we're watching.
All right. I'm Mackenzie Shanahan, working from home, wishing I was on the couch. just a mom from the Midwest.
I'm Jessica Nabala. I am local to the Greenfield, Massachusetts area. I am Judy's longtime hairstylist. And yeah, I'm a mom too, and hopefully I don't get an interruption today from my daughter to make a special appearance.
Oh,
I think I should note that for the first time in about 20 years, I'm doing my hair a little differently. I'm not getting it cut every week. I'm getting it cut every week and a half, letting it grow a little bit.
Oh,
yeah, curling a little less.
Oh,
yeah, she's in a growing it out phase for a new style.
Okay.
I wouldn't go that far. I was with some friends last weekend, and I literally, Jessica, after you colored it last, that's the first time in my whole life that I literally came back from getting it colored and styled, and I didn't touch it. I didn't curl it, nothing.
Oh, nice.
And so I told some friends, I'm like, can you tell I didn't curl my hair today? And they were like, no.
Yeah.
Wait, where are your curls? What do you mean?
Oh, there's no curls, but I have no bend to my hair. So like zero, like it sticks straight.
Okay.
So in order to just get it to like lay, I have to put a curling iron in it.
Yeah. So she usually does like the sides.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, it doesn't look like curled when she does it.
Just a little.
It's definitely a Judy. Only Judy would know.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
I used to get permanence back in the day. Yeah. And even today, like when I used to get my eyelashes done, which I don't anymore because I have a condition, but the smell of the perm on your eyelids just made me so nostalgic for the days when I got a perm.
You have a condition?
Yeah, I have a lot. Actually, Mackenzie, you know what? I was going back over some texts when you sold me that Rodin Fields, like whatever stuff for my eyes.
Yes.
And I started writing, you know, Mackenzie, my eyes are really red. Like, I'm not sure if this is good for me. Well, a year later, I was.
And it made sense.
Diagnosed with three different eye conditions. So I could never ever do that again.
No, we can't.
Anyway, okay, enough about my beauty routine.
I think
that I forgot to mention that this is part four of Spilling the Tea, where we talk a little bit about reality television and what we're watching. And I feel like I need to do a little bit of a disclaimer this week, or this session, this podcast. Because I want to acknowledge that I know there's some pretty serious stuff going on right now in our country and in our world, and it can feel really trite to talk about reality TV, but I also believe we need escape and we need to find joy when we can and where we can. And
absolutely.
So I just want to acknowledge that we're not so shallow we are unaware of what's happening.
And absolutely.
So anyway, so who wants to start with saying what they've been talking about, what they've been watching?
Okay, I want to start. And I ask, I feel like we've touched on this, but I just watched it. Anyone do Sister Wives? No.
I did a couple episodes just for you. It was hard for me to get into, but I did watch a couple.
Yeah, a long time ago, I think I tried to get into it.
Okay.
But I know a little bit.
Okay, I'm just saying that could be a lot. We could discuss a lot there if you all wanted to do a little research. It's real good. Real fascinating.
So, not to interrupt it, but is this a TLC show?
Yes.
Okay. Well, only because we're like in the middle of like fixing our streaming services, and I don't think I currently get TLC.
Okay, but, yeah, that's a hard one. Okay.
But they show it on Hulu too, Jessica.
Oh, okay.
That's where
we just upgraded our Hulu Live because of football in my house.
Yes. Very important.
But yes, okay.
Okay, let me think of others. Someone else go.
Well, do you want to say anything about, because I did watch 3 episodes of the current season just to kind of get a taste of what's happening. Because I used to watch it religiously.
Okay, I just have to say that I feel like it all was a lie. So it's about a polygamous family. He had 4 wives. Now he's monogamous with one wife. And now the thing that is annoying to me, which is often happens on our reality shows, where it's like, oh, the backstory is we actually didn't get along, or we didn't at that party that you saw, we fought right before the cameras turned on. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So a little behind the scenes. So there's like, this is what, season 19, and I could tell you every fact, detail, everything, but I'm just a little annoyed at production and them, because now it's like, we go from 4 wives to he's monogamous, but like, there's just things coming out that were behind the scenes, but we never knew about. So that is annoying on reality TV. Do we agree with that?
So do you think he was only in love with one of them the whole time?
Oh my gosh, yes. So going back to your disclaimer, there is a lot going on in the world, a lot happening, and my escape is reality TV. And just last night, my husband goes, you have watched this episode for the 7th time. What is going on? I was like, I just don't want to look at social media or my phone. Let me enjoy. I think it's like the anticipation. I know what's going to happen. Like, it's very calming to me. But I think once he found that Robin, his 4th wife,
But he might have been in love with the ones before and just found his true love on wife number 4, right? Well, like, couldn't he have been leading up to Robin the whole time and not even realizing he was leading up to Robin? Well,
now he said he loved them out of like a necessity. Like, he thought he had to love them, and he married Robin, which was his true love. And one of the wives even said, the first time they went on a date, I knew he found his soulmate. So I appreciate the fact that he found his soulmate and they can recognize that. But now he's going back and it's horrible, but so fascinating.
So well, what's the show going to be now if he has one wife?
Right. Like, how do they move forward with this?
So, well, one of his wives, the big thing is we're watching her. She now is married. So she's getting remarried on the show.
Which one's that?
Monogamous though?
Yes. Christine Brown is now like the last episode was her wedding.
Oh, okay. I'm not even close to
that.
Do you
see what I'm saying? Like, as a viewer on any show, not just Sister Wives, like the whiplash of like, wait, where are we? What are we doing here? Are we getting married? Are we monogamous? Are we polygamous? I don't know.
And is I can talk about that forever. Is his religion based? Like,
now none of them, Jessica, are religious. But it's like, you never said that. You never said, do you know what I'm saying? Now everyone's like, wait, are you officially divorced because you didn't go back to the church? And they're like, well, we don't believe in that anymore. So I feel like it's all a lie. Alex, it comes down to, I feel like my whole life, even though I've watched it 18 times, is a lie.
You're just now realizing reality TV may be out to dupe you.
Yeah. It's not my escape anymore. I'm going to have to find something else. So, yeah. But let's talk about something we've all watched. What is it?
I've been watching Southern Charm.
Me too.
I just caught up on Below Deck Sailing. Traitors. New season of Traitors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Real Housewives of New York.
Uh-huh. Wait, Judy, do you watch Real Housewives of New York?
No, but here's the thing. So, you know, I'm not really a housewife fan anymore, but... So what I'm realizing is like Survivor and Big Brother are my two primaries, right? And when they're not on, I have to force myself to get into these other shows, which I used to just watch easily. So perhaps it's a sign of my growth and evolution. I don't know, but I'm sure it is. But I started watching Beverly Hills last night just to kind of, because I thought you two would watch
Beverly Hills too. Oh. Yes. I forgot about that one.
Have you watched enough to talk about it?
I watched the first two and the most recent one. So I'm up on texting gate. I'm kind of aware of that.
Do we think that Kyle crossed the line?
I'd like to hear from you two first, because I don't have the in-between shows to fill me in. So I'd like to hear from you two. I had a gut response to it, but I'm missing a lot of background information.
Okay. So I feel like there's a yes and a no scenario to that. I think that the four of them, like as the couples that used to hang out all the time, I mean, it sounds like they were all very close, mm-hmm. and that Kyle obviously had some sort of a rapport with PK to be able to feel comfortable to text, whether maybe most of it was just memes and laughing emojis, yeah. but he probably could have reached out and said some stuff to her. And who knows what her response, though. Her response could have been simple, like, okay, like, I hear what you're saying, but maybe we shouldn't talk about this. Or she could have gone down a rabbit hole and maybe talked about her personal experience with Mauricio. So, yeah, I feel like it's hard to say, like, yeah, I probably wouldn't like it if I was Dorit at all, if that was me. Yeah. But I also think we don't know the context of the text messages. And I don't know. Again, like, they're grown women. Like, I don't know if she has to feel like she has to share that information, but maybe to salvage their relationship, that might be a stepping stone.
Yeah. My first thought was, Dorit, honey, text Mo. Text him.
Yeah. Do they text?
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
I would have sent him a meme real fast, honey. I would have been like, okay, game on. But I do feel like when she showed her text, I think she came like, oh, I'm clean. We're just memes and jokes and blah, blah, blah. And then I felt like in that moment, as she was reading her text, where she kind of paused and then kind of like, I think she realized, oh, shoot, this is going to turn around on me that I'm breaking girl code. And you even see Sutton and Garcelle and even Erica, who's always Switzerland, was like, that feels a little...
Yeah, just the context of her saying...
I won't share
what you have spoken to me. It's between us. But like, then insinuate it's because like you can't say it because of production. Like,
yeah.
No, yeah. It just sounds like he may have shared some things with her, and whether she acknowledged or responded to them, we don't know.
Yeah.
But I think there was maybe a moment, I'm not saying it's a constant, but probably a moment or two that he sent her some text messages about his relationship. And it's obviously not 100% memes and laughing faces.
Yeah. And again, just sitting there like, oh, I got this proof. I'm going to read it. When she was like, I'm going to read it one more time. One more time. Yeah. I'm going to read it. And I'm like, okay, read it. I'm like, oh no, that's not good.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, again, it's so odd. Like you said, always with any reality, we don't know everything. We don't know the context, you know, it could all be a lie, but it's like you're in the same position as her, as a human to human, a stranger to a stranger. They're both going through divorces or somewhat, at least a separation. What if the roles were reversed? I just feel mm-hmm. like it was wrong, no matter yeah. what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, it's interesting because obviously I don't know all of the background on it. And I have to say, like, back in the day when I used to watch, I couldn't stand Dorit. And part of it was I felt like she had this fake accent. And now that I've come back, she doesn't have that accent anymore. So it must have been fake. So that was really annoying. And I hated the way she said PK, and I couldn't stand the two of them together.
Yeah.
That said, so I can't like put myself in this situation because I'm not in a couple. I'm not part of a couple and have best friends that are couples. So mm-hmm. I actually was kind of thinking, Mackenzie, about my mom and dad and your yeah. grandma and grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
And like what might happen if Jim and Donna were going through a divorce. Would my mom and Jim stay connected? And I think the answer is absolutely.
Absolutely.
And yet nothing, you know, suspect would ever happen between the two of them. They've been friends for 30 years. They would remain friends. Actually, my mom might take his side in all fairness.
Oh, you know.
Let's be honest.
You know.
Actually, mom might stop texting Donna.
Yeah. That is so true. That is, she'd be like, forget you, Donna. You did
it. If something's wrong between the two of you, it's probably your fault. So. Yeah. But anyway,
Yes.
But anyway, to apply it to the situation,
yeah,
like it, to me, it felt like, what is the big deal here? And it felt really intrusive at that spa party when all of those women were like, you have to show the text now. Like, I was just really perplexed by that. I thought Erica Jane was sort of the voice of reason in all this, to be honest with you.
But
I also feel like I must be missing something because everyone seems to be on Dorit's side, including all of the fans on Reddit and all the social media sites.
The Reddit.
So I'm like, I think it's just the context of the text message that does sound like she is becoming like there's something apparent. He shared something with her. And obviously what he shared with her was personal enough that she felt like she would had to reiterate that she couldn't share it publicly or share it in general. Like she was going to keep a secret.
Yeah.
So whatever those secrets are.
Yeah, that would be unnerving as her friend. Good. Yeah. Yeah. That would be unnerving. I can completely see that.
Right. So like what, and who knows, it could be something so simple that if Dorit and her were still close and chatting on a regular basis, that Dorit might have divulged the same information. Who knows? But like, yeah, I don't think that would sit well with me if it was like my best friend.
But are they best friends? I mean, they don't even seem like they're like, I missed the breakup, but they seem like they've had a lot of issues.
That came back to play. Cause remember when Dorit was like, oh, she met Morgan and now she doesn't hang out with me and I don't talk to her. And then Kyle was like, actually, off camera, we've met like twice for lunch, which that goes back to what I mentioned with sister wives. It's like, how much is real? Because I thought they were like Teddy and Kyle close. I didn't realize it was like a more showy kind of friendship. But also, side note, I think the ladies and the fans are loving this takedown of Kyle because she is always at the top. Mm-hmm. She is untouchable. They call it her show. Mm-hmm. And I think they're all just sitting back like, yep, let's take her down.
Mm-hmm. That may
be living
true.
For it. I'm living for it.
Yeah, she is an OG.
In a nice way. I'm kind of sitting there kind of liking it because she has always been stirring the pot, the one who pours the drink. You know, she likes to get things going.
Right. But 100%. Yeah.
And so I'm kind of liking that she's in the hot seat where she hasn't always had to, you know.
I have to say the very first episode when I forget who went to visit. So Kathy's on a lot of the episodes now. Her sister, Kathy Hilton. Yes. Is that her name?
Yeah.
So I forget who went to visit her. I think it was Dorit went to visit Kathy. Mm-hmm. At her home. And I thought maybe Kathy had some horrible car accident because she was hooked up to an IV. And I was like, oh my God, what happened to her? She was just getting her makeup done and like getting vitamin C pumped into her or something like that.
Yeah, getting hydrated.
Yeah, hydrated. Yeah, actually, it's incredible if you've ever had the chance to do it.
Well, I don't have somebody, I don't think I'd ever be able to afford to have somebody come to my home to do it while they're putting on my makeup.
Yeah, well, that's the new thing on those bachelorette trips. You get a little IV coming and then you just start again.
Yeah. I have heard of those. They have like people do that. Like nurses will come in clusters and then they'll give everybody IV treatments. So you're not hungover anymore.
You got to have sunglasses
then
on.
You can start all over again.
You got money to burn if you're doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually don't think it's as expensive as you think it is when it's a group rate.
Yeah.
Well, I actually have a friend from who used to work at GCC who I'm going to see this Wednesday for a procedure, but she now does that. She now does the IV thing. And you're right. It's not crazy expensive, but like having people in your home feels like it might be a little more pricey. But
yeah.
Anyway, the other thing I wanted to say about this whole PK Dorit thing is, so I forget, I think it was the most recent episode where they showed Dorit and PK in a restaurant talking about have you guys seen this one?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about their marriage. Okay. So I don't remember the dynamics of that relationship, but I was disgusted by him. Like what he was basically saying to her was, when I first met you, you had no life. And therefore I was like the leader in this relationship. And I took you out and introduced you to everybody. And now that you have your own personality and your own point of view, I'm no longer interested in you. Am I misreading that? Or is that kind of the dynamic?
That was it. That was it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But also it is hard. Again, we don't know what is true. And we don't know all the context, but it is hard because we have always heard about the rumors of, hey, there's issues in the marriage, and they have always remained. It's great. It's good. Every marriage has their issue, which is true. And now she is really pushing that he's an alcoholic, that he's screams at her that, like, there you really start to see the agendas being pushed when it's coming on the on the screen. You know what I'm saying? Like, also, like, the authenticity of it all is kind of a little interesting.
And he seems, in that dinner, I felt like he seemed very excited to be like, free, we're not gonna talk for a little while, like,
yeah.
I'm going out living my best life. And she's like, with his there, like, what's happening?
Yeah, with his new fake teeth. It's like, all reality stars, they break up, they get veneers, they break up, they get veneers. Like, I don't know the life. And
didn't I hear too, though, there's like a financial thing, like bankruptcy. Did somebody file bankruptcy or something too in that marriage? Did I see that after the fact?
I think that it's going to turn into an Erica Jane situation with Tom Girardi, because every season, is that not mentioned? A lawsuit with PK, a lawsuit.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
gonna come money down problems.
Yeah.
Erica Jane looks fabulous, I have to say. Fabulous.
Yeah. Looked fabulous.
But
she blames it on menopause. So I'm like, curious. She blames her extreme weight loss on menopause. I'm like, how many women go through menopause and
gained 15 pounds.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm hoping I'm as lucky as she is.
Yeah, I want menopause now. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Wait, who is this Erica Jane says that's why she looks so
good? Because, like, everyone's like, oh, she must have been on Ozempic, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, no, it was menopause.
Oh, now that's hormonal. A lie. That's a total lie. Okay.
See?
All right, so Southern Charm, what do we think of what's going on in Southern Charm?
You know, let's talk about it. I have to say, I have never liked Shep or Austin. Austin Kroll, I liked the first season because he came in like a Southern gentleman. And we all know it's like when you order something from Amazon and you get something that's not right. That is how I feel about Austin. I cannot stand how they have this storyline now of Craig doesn't want to go out and drink. Craig doesn't want, he's all about business. Honey, he is 40 something years old. What? That's normal.
Yeah.
And it's this huge storyline. And then we've got Whitney, the voice of reason, who still lives with his mommy. Like, what? I can't get down with the Southern charm. I have always loved it, but it's like, what? You're not Southern. There's no charm here. Right? Do you feel that way? Like, why are you attacking?
Well, it's really interesting. Okay, first of all, you have to listen to the Watch What Crappens podcast when they rehash the episodes, because they are hysterical.
Okay.
But the accent they use sounds more like the guys from South Park than it does actual Southerners. Like, it sounds like somebody killed Kenny. You know, like, they sound like those people, but they are hysterical. And they literally go line by line. They completely retell the episode, but they use their little voices and their own commentary. So they're very funny. I had not watched Southern Charm, I don't think, since the first season, potentially. So I'm just now, what are we, at episode 7 or 8 or something? I'm just now able to tell the women apart and the men apart, because they all look alike, with the exception of Benicia, who's a woman of color. They all look exactly alike. They sound exactly alike, and they sort of act as well. But before I started rewatching it, I was listening to a podcast. Who was it? I can't remember. It was two women. But they were talking about, what's the two T's in a pod or whatever?
Two T's in a pod. Don't get me started on that.
Okay. Well, anyway, they had Shep on. And that's what kind of prompted me to start watching it again, because he was talking about this, like, complete transformation he had as a result of a 4-day trip to Costa Rica. And he basically, apparently there was some horrible thing that happened on BravoCon where he, like, was completely wasted in public and on national television or whatever. So he claims he went to Costa Rica for 4 days. He did not quit drinking.
No.
But he's now a new person. Drinks.
He doesn't dabble in the hard liquor. He's like one of those people. Now he's a beer or a wine person.
California sober.
California sober, yeah.
Like James Kennedy.
Yeah. Oh, we got to talk about
who that. Who is not sober anymore.
He is. I just read yesterday he is.
Again, maybe.
Yeah, I think again.
Yeah, maybe now that his world is crashing down. Yeah, maybe he's sober.
But he wasn't sober when that.
No.
Right. But that was like, that was about 7 or 8 months ago. Like, she, like, a couple days ago, I think their breakup became official.
And she made a public statement.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Southern Charm. We don't want to jump around too much. So So anyway, so I have major trouble telling these people apart. I'm really finding it hard to stick with it. But the other day, you know how like when the last episode plays, sometimes it will like go into an episode of another show that's similar to it to see if you like it.
Yeah.
So the other day, Southern Charm, what was it called? Is it Southern Hospitality?
Oh, I watched
Southern
that too.
Hospitality.
I think that's the one that showed up.
That's Leva's. It's Leva's show.
It's Leva's restaurant.
Wait, that's not the one I saw. I saw Southern Charm New Orleans, I think.
Oh, that's okay. So
I haven't
old.
Watched that one.
Okay. Yeah, yes, I think it is. I think it's really old. It only ran two seasons, but I love it. I think it's much better than Southern Charm.
Yeah, you would.
Why do you say that?
I don't know.
Well, because the people are like, they look like normal people. They live in small apartments.
They're
normal.
I like that.
Okay, other comments on Southern Charm, because I don't think Jessica's weighed in.
I can't stand it.
I think that this season, to me, it's they're reaching for drama to create storylines. I think they brought Sally in to add drama to Taylor's relationship because Sally was used to be in love or hook up with her boyfriend. They're really trying to give
Gaston.
Yeah, trying to give him a bad edit on the show. But again, I think making storylines relevant. I think the whole thing with Austin and Craig, like by the pool, like that whole scene, it's just like, again, I think it's like Austin doesn't have much else going on. So like, let's have him be upset with Craig and then maybe end their podcast. Like, and then you've got and then the whole Craig making up that JT called Patricia the B word, which
didn't happen.
That I didn't see.
So I don't think it happened.
Everything's like reaching. To me, it's just like a season where they're reaching for storylines because there's not a whole lot going on.
Yeah. Last episode we were at a tuba concert.
I have to say, I love Molly.
Oh, I love her.
I love her. The fact that Molly has returned to the tuba after years of absence and she cried about it.
Right.
It shows me she has substance.
Her love for music. Yeah. But maybe not on my Southern Charm TV when I want to escape the realities of the world. I don't care about your tuba concert. I go to my kids' concert.
I'm also feeling like Shep. Does he have a thing for Molly? Like,
a little bit.
Planting the seed.
Can
go down that route.
How ancestral the whole group is.
Well, it is.
Like, Sally hooked up with Gaston and Taylor. Like, it's all like, I can't keep track. And then we have Patricia, this matriarch, like how they put her in every once in a while. I'm like, ew, I don't want to sit at her dinner table.
Does she have friends her own age?
No.
She's 82.
I think she's like, I don't know. It's just there's too many weird dynamics that I used to laugh at. But now I'm like, I don't want to see her pug napkin holder. Like, I don't care. And I love the reference that all the guys in Southern Charm are like Peter Pan. They never want to grow up.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like watching it. It's like, ew, I don't like this.
I can kind of relate to that.
But Craig, I do feel like is growing up. And I do feel like that's why they're giving him a hard time. Because in the reality of it all, like, I mean, unfortunately, he and Paige broke up, which was sad. But I do think the next woman that he meets, she has changed him for the better.
Yes. And can we talk about that now? Can we talk about the breakup?
Yes.
I think so. It's public.
Well, yeah, I know we can talk about it. Yeah, we do know it's public, Judy. But can we talk about it? Like how he even went on his Instagram and said, I was blindsided like the rest of you. And now it has to be fascinating watching it back, like watching the episodes back where like, I mean, I noticed it before, but how he's like, honey, what do you want in this room? What do you want this bonus room to be? Do you want me to ask? And she's like, I don't care. But I think it's also the gender role reversal. How it seems like she gives zero and she's living her life on the Instagram and she's at the football game and she's got mere selfies and he seems like sad, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I give you the white picket fence. I give you the home.
Literally.
Yeah. Like, and then every time I feel like he brought up, when do you want to have kids? When should we get married? oh, I'm like a couple years away from that. Or I will move, but I won't move.
She's Peter Pan. She's Peter Pan. She doesn't want to leave her family in New York City. Honey, you are approaching 30. Let's get on.
She's over 30. She turned 30.
Okay, well, that's close.
Because she made a really big deal about turning 30, about how, like, her looks are going to start declining now. I'm like, oh, just wait, honey.
Yeah, listen, I have always loved her, but this whole, like, I'm independent woman. I'm all about being an independent woman. Honey, live your life. But, like, what have you felt this way and you've dragged him on?
Well, right. And I think that's what makes it sad is that I do feel like she, at the end of the day, didn't give at all. And I think that she maybe didn't have any intention of
like
moving in together and coexisting and having a family and doing all the things.
Yeah. And I wonder if, like,
we'll are you relating to this, Alex? Alex is nodding his head.
I'm telling you, when Alex smiles and nods his head, I feel like we are saving the world. He's like, oh yeah. Yeah. I'm like, okay, we got it. We got it. So yeah, I don't know. I just think that whole gender reverse role and changing, and he's the sad one and she's living her life. It's all fascinating.
Yeah, you could definitely, like, I kind of forgot they had broken up when I was sort of watching Southern Charm, because I do also watch the other one she's on, Summer House, a little bit of that. I literally said out loud to my TV the other day, this relationship's not going to work, forgetting that they had broken up, because I forget who he's talking to, one of his male friends, and he's like, she's worth waiting for, but she's just not ready for A, B, and C, and I'm ready. And I think he's like in his 40s, right? And she just turned 30. So I just think, I don't think there's anything nefarious or terrible about it. They're just at different places in their life. They just,
well, right. And that's what he said though, too, like their breakup was very like amicable. Like they're not,
they
like,
hate each other.
No, like they're still love there. I will say though, just so we're not completely bashing Paige, she did shed some tears on her podcast about the breakup. So it's nice to see that she is a little sad.
Okay.
But
you'd like to see a little sadness.
Yeah. She did cry.
Okay.
But I do think that this is, it's her is obviously the reason.
I mean, let's face it, y'all. These people are all shallow. Like, we are not talking about people with incredible depth and a strong moral compass on of these shows.
No, have you seen, I don't remember what reunion it is, and they're sitting there and they're calling a housewife a narcissist, and Andy Cohen goes, look around, guys. We have TVs and cameras. We're all a little narcissistic.
For sure.
Yeah. Wait. Side note. Did you see, this brings in traitors, did you see Lindsay Hubbard on the Skinny Not Fat podcast?
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
She said, you know, Lindsay Hubbard, Judy.
Remind me who she is.
Summer House. She's the one who broke up, Carl and Lindsay were engaged. They broke up on camera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, her. Yeah. Okay.
She had her baby with another man, not Carl. Mm-hmm. And she went on a podcast and said that Dorinda Medley was the one who outed her pregnancy.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
But where?
That they were at maybe New Year's Eve party somewhere. And it was a bunch of like Bravo people. Margaret Joseph was there. Maybe it was her party. And she said that she was hearing from people at the party that said, she was saying, Lindsay's pregnant. She can't go on Traitors because she's pregnant. And then Lindsay was like, I have to put a statement out because now Dorinda has blabbed to the world, which we were seeing those Reddit posts and all that. But it was Dorinda Medley.
Oh, not surprising.
I was shook by that.
Not so surprising.
Did she go home the first night of Traitors?
Second episode.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She was one of the, Nope.
And Mackenzie, when she was interviewed, when she did her exit interview, she basically said that one of her favorite people was Tom Sandoval, that she had a soft spot for him and she wanted to protect him.
Oh, I'm going to throw up in my mouth. Are you?
I just got done telling Judy how I feel like I can't stand watching him, like, because even on this reality show, he was like trying to care for somebody's feelings. And like, it just sounds so fake.
He's so fake.
And it's funny because Chrishell is on the show. I don't know if you guys watch.
Is she one of the Bambis?
Yeah. Was she a Bambi? Yeah. So she's on the Netflix series Selling Sunset. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yes. And so she is friends with Ariana and like, was very vocal about her not liking Tom and like saying like, you know, I feel like a traitor can lie, cheat, whatever, stale, blah, blah, blah. And then like that's, she had like voted for Tom to try to get him off the island per se, but
the island,
but I can't with him. I just cannot.
No.
He is he's annoying
kind
on
of
the show.
He's kind of invisible on the show. He's not so a main character. Not a main character at all. He's Bob Harper is more of a main character than Tom Sandoval. And he was the Biggest Loser 40 years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wait, so for traitors, did everyone just not like Dorinda and they voted her off? Or
no, it's not really like it's not like a popularity contest. I think they were kind of going after the housewives, like multiple housewives got voted off for some reason. Like Robin got voted off the last episode. Well,
So that's what seems to happen on the show is that they all kind of form alliances. So like if they're all like
based
all
on
the
show.
Housewives, right, will have come together. Then there's like what they call the Bambies because they're all these like cutesy little beautiful big Joey-eyed ladies. Yeah.
No,
like,
they call them the Bambies?
They call themselves,
the Bambies.
I'm going to throw up.
And then you have like your, you know, like your Survivor. What's the other show?
Big Brother.
Yeah, and then we got Wes from Real World on there.
They give a random aristocrat.
There's always a British, like a British.
Someone from. There's always like one person who's from like the Parliament of Britain or something.
Yeah, and like this guy became famous. He's like, how is he related?
I don't know. I just know he's an aristocrat. That's all I know.
Yeah, he's related to the queen or something somehow. And then he was married to a woman and then they got divorced. And then he is now married to a man, I think. So like that's also how he became like famous because I think it's frowned upon to be gay.
He's probably friends with Alan Cummings, you know. Although Alan lives in New York City, right? He has a bar and everything there.
That was another thing I want to go down the rabbit hole is, does Alan own that castle?
I don't think so.
Because Chrishell made a comment saying like, I would love to sell this for you if you want to put it on the market. And he was like, this is not for sale. Oops.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, does he own that castle? Because that would be amazing.
So this season, I don't think is as strong as the last couple seasons. And I think part of the reason it's not as strong is I think the people that they put together to be the traitors were never going to work. That was never going to be. So Mackenzie, I don't know if you know all these people, but he calls himself Bob the Drag Queen. I don't know what show he's on. Is it?
He was RuPaul. So yeah. So I always do feel like there's somebody from RuPaul's Drag Race on there. So he was on there.
So him and Boston Rob from Survivor and Carolyn from Survivor and Danielle from Big Brother were the traitors.
Oh.
Well, they are the traitors. So Bob the Drag Queen turned on Boston Rob. So Boston Rob got rid of him. So he's gone.
Okay.
And then so it leaves Carolyn. You probably don't know any of these people, right? You know what's funny? The housewife.
I don't know any of them either, except for.
You know the housewife Chanel? Is that her name? From Housewives of Dubois? Is it Chanel?
Dubai.
Judy. You love geography. What did you say?
No, actually, geography isn't up. No, I love like economics and history.
Oh, okay. Not names of Dubai.
Okay, that was a Grandma Donna moment.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, she thought all of the people from Survivor were people who had survived some sort of traumatic life thing. That's what she thought. She had no idea. She goes, you know, I've survived like the things that she had survived were unthinkable, you know, like she's been through all of this stuff. And she goes, I finally said to one of them, I go, so what have you survived? And one of them said, well, I lost 40 pounds. It was Derek. Derek from Big Brother had like was a little bit overweight. And she was like, okay. So they never caught on to the fact that that's who she thought they were.
Oh, well, she has survived a lot. She has.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't think it's as good a season because the traitors hate each other.
Are the traitors?
Yeah. They're starting to hate each other because they're starting to kind of turn on each other in some way, shape, or form. Like, I have to say, like Bob the Drag Queen saying something about all the new guys coming in, which was Boston Rob, Derek, and Wes, that one of them has to be a traitor when you are a traitor and you've got one of them is a traitor. So you're pretty are just like putting the spotlight on one of them. And so why wouldn't you feel threatened by a comment like that? Like, I don't think he thought that one through.
And I think the other reason, Mackenzie, that all the housewives get out are, is that, and remember we used to talk about the different categories of reality TVs. There's like dating shows, competition shows, just living your life shows. The Bravo housewives have no idea how to play a game.
No.
Whereas Big Brother and Survivor, their reality shows were all about competition and how do you, you know, like how do you outlast, outwit, outplay. So I think the housewives just have no idea what they're doing, especially when they think the people from Survivor are people who survived something traumatic.
Yeah.
Like they clearly are out of their league.
Yeah, clearly.
So I think that's why they don't last, because they don't know what they're doing.
Oh.
And they just want to, and they just want to make good TV, because that's what they're used
well,
to.
That's their
like,
game. Yeah, they're used to that. But the producers are smart for getting them. I know people laugh at the reality stars, but it brings a crowd.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
No, yeah. What I love about the Traitors is that they bring all these shows together. So no matter what you watch, you have somebody to root for.
That's someone. Okay.
Are you rooting for anyone, Jessica? Like,
no, I think it's too early for me to feel like who I think would, you know, although, I mean, I always like Bob from Biggest Loser. So I just,
like
I hope
too.
That he's a faithful. So I feel like, you know, it'd be nice to see, you know, see them win.
Brittany was one of my favorite all-time Big Brother players. So,
okay.
But she's kind of just flying under the radar and not doing much, but she was always very funny on Big Brother. I always really liked her.
Yeah.
Well, so we don't have a lot of time left. Is there any other thing that you're watching that you want to touch on?
Well, I know you don't watch Real Housewives of New York City. You do, Mackenzie. Did you watch the last episode?
Yes, I
feel like that ended on a very kind of sad note with Bryn in terms of like where will they go next season with that.
Yeah. I think we touched on this last time we did the podcast where, and we laugh about it, but it is real how reality TV is our escape. But then when it gets the last few seasons of different shows on Bravo have touched on quite dark topics and situations. And there's a part of me that's like, okay, this is going too far. I don't like this.
Yeah.
So I have seen where Andy Cohen, like they're wanting her canceled. Like they don't want her. Judy, can we tell you about it? Do you have any
idea? No, I have no idea.
Huge. Okay, Jessica, you tell, because I don't say it right.
So the last episode shows there, all these ladies are together in Puerto Rico. And so what ends up happening is Bryn, there's just a lot of drama that's happening. And then they're accusing Bryn of kind of like always like stirring the pot or like saying things on camera just to like, again, like fuel the fire for something.
Yeah, get a reaction.
It ends up coming out that Bryn shares with the ladies off camera that, but there's still like cameras rolling in the house, but they're all like demiked essentially, that she unfortunately had been a victim of sexual assault and that she was having a conflict with Uba, who's another housewife on the show during this time in Puerto Rico. And Uba makes a comment that it was like potentially like, was insensitive, like insinuating that she might have did some sexual favors to get a spot on the show.
Oh, wow.
And then, so after Uba goes to bed, and this is what Bryn shares with the girls, and she feels like betrayed by Uba because she had shared with her at this moment that this happened to her, and how dare Uba say something like that knowing this information. Then one of the other ladies, Jessel, tells Uba, listen, this is what Bryn just shared with us. On camera. And Uba just loses it. And it's like, I had no idea. I would have never, like, you know, just that it really like exploded. And then after a little bit of time, Bryn then admits that, well, maybe essentially, maybe it was an oversight, or maybe Uba didn't register or hear me say that, or maybe you didn't say it at all. And it's just one of those instances where she's trying to like make herself look like she's a victim when she's always trying to, where she's doing the exact opposite, I guess, on the show. She always wants to be the victim, or she's always sharing this, that, the other thing to make herself look better and make somebody else look bad. But then like, this is where she's gone just maybe a little too far. So nobody is discrediting her that she may have been a sexual assault victim, but it's upsetting to feel like you lied about this. Could you have lied about that too to gain sympathy? Like, we don't know. But yeah, so it seems like she now, we don't know moving forward if she's going to be on the show anymore. And yeah.
Which one's not going to be on the show? Bryn?
Bryn. You know, I don't know, because all the other ladies are just not in a good place with her, except for was at the reunion, or like when they were at the end when they were filming the like the intro to the show.
Erin
was still kind of like in a good place with her, but I think there was still some weirdness with the rest of the ladies.
Well, regardless of, I would need to watch. I will watch it before the next podcast, or I'll watch some of it. And so I feel like really like I shouldn't even comment. But one thing I will say is what Uba said was inappropriate, regardless of the circumstances.
Oh, so absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was addressed on the show and how it was inappropriate. And the girl said to Uba, like, you shouldn't say that to her. You need to stop. Mm-hmm. Like, it's inappropriate. It's disrespectful. And then, like, you know, Ben Bryn kind of elevated the whole thing mm-hmm. by saying that, well, Uba is the only one who knew that this okay. happened to me. And how dare she say something like that to me, knowing that. And then that's when Uba like lost her ever loving mind. Cause she was like, I would never talk to somebody that, I mean, again, like you said, she shouldn't have said it in the first mm-hmm. place, but mm-hmm. really wouldn't have said something to somebody like that.
Wouldn't given, have been that insensitive or disrespectful yeah, like, or inappropriate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right, I'll have to check it out.
You're going to have to check that one out because it's stirring up a lot of like, as you're watching it from like a camera, not like the real camera that records them because it's right. off once they're demiked and they're off air, blah, 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 blah. But it you can see the other ladies where it like if there's a confrontation, they have to stick around. They have to stay there. They have to somewhat nod their head or engage or whatever mm-hmm. in order make the TV show, mm-hmm. but you see, like, it's like they're breaking the fourth wall where, like, mm-hmm. like it got so intense, like, I'm uncomfortable. This is not right. But there is a lot that I think we could unpack at our next podcast.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of like real things obviously happening because there's also that line of like, Bryn had shared the assault story with viewers mm-hmm. so knew of this watching it, and we saw another side of Bryn where she isn't overly sexual. She jokes about she's overly I don't know the proper way to say it, like sexualizes everything mm-hmm. so then for her we saw a different side of her because mm-hmm. she was sharing her story, which takes a lot of courage. Everyone was like, you know, you're doing an amazing job sharing it on national television. So she was elevated to a degree that she deserved because she was talking about it, mm-hmm. right? It was relatable to so many, sadly. Mm-hmm. And then for her to weaponize.
So that's this, how they saw it. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. You're then going to blame this person for what horrible thing happened to you. It's just a lot of things there. We could mm-hmm. discuss on the next podcast.
I will catch up. And I do want to schedule that before we get off today. Not oh. while we're live, but you know.
Yes. Oh, but the people are dying to hear.
Our 10 listeners, tops.
We're proud of our 10 listeners. Thank you for tuning in.
So, all right. So what do we have coming up? So Vanderpump is coming back sometime. We don't have a date yet, right?
No. I don't know if I can watch it.
Oh, wait. Oh, we do. Oh, it's just complete. I can't.
Yeah, but we don't have a date. So okay, and we didn't, we didn't even get to talk about Sheena Shea's new memoir that came out called My Good Side. But we'll talk. We'll have to look into that for next time.
Yeah. I can't even. Okay.
I don't know if it's referring to the camera angle or the good side of her personality. I have no idea, but I know it's called My Good Side.
Yeah. Well, and we do have Summer House coming out.
Yes.
Which I just think the dynamic between Lindsay and Carl in the house, her being pregnant, it's going to be.
Yeah, I like that show. I do like that show.
But I think it's going to be interesting.
And The Valley, when's The Valley coming back?
Oh, we have to
talk. I haven't even looked. Yeah, I haven't even looked it up.
That always comes, right? Doesn't it usually come in the same? Because sometimes they're on the same week. That's how I know I'm going to have.
When is Summer House coming back? Is it soon?
February.
Okay, cool. All right. Okay, so we have some good stuff coming up.
We do.
Excellent. So my job is to catch up with New York City.
You have to.
All right. What do you guys want to assign yourself any homework before the next podcast?
Honey, and I need you all to be caught up on a little bit of my sister wives.
Yeah, I guess I've got to go down that hole.
The show that you told us is all a complete farce you want us to catch up on?
Well, I need you guys to feel baited and switched as well. I need someone with me because my husband won't watch it for the 18th time.
I feel like there's so many seasons of that show. I feel like it's going to take a lifetime.
Okay, I'm just watching the last season right now.
Okay, well, excuse me. Maybe at least the last three to see the breakup. You got to see
the Mackenzie, there's like 20 episodes in each season. I don't have time to watch 60 hours of Sister Wives to be.
If I do.
I can commiserate with you.
Yeah, sometimes I need someone there with me.
I think maybe I should just Google this one.
You totally could.
But Google the synopsis of side notes. Sister Wives. I'm just saying
there's a lot of factors there we could discuss pop culture wise that we could really get into.
All right, Jessica, just go to Wikipedia, do a summary. Read the summary.
I'll send it to you.
Cliff notes, something.
Yep.
Oh. All right. Anything else before we go? Any parting thoughts?
No, just keep getting out of the world we live in and watch your trashy reality TV.
Yeah. It's the perfect escape.
We actually do have reality TV going on right now in our country, but just real reality TV. So, all right. Everybody have a great week, and we'll be back again in a few weeks.
All right. See you soon.
This concludes today's podcast. We're always looking for new ideas, so feel free to reach out to Judy Raper, Associate Dean of Community Engagement at Greenfield Community College at 413-775-1819 if you have an idea you'd love to share. Special thanks to the creators of Backyard Oasis, Denise Schwartz, Chad Fuller, Dennis Lee, and Christine Copeland. Have a great day.